Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the New Orleans Rundown. Gonna try and step away so this doesn't bleed in.
What are you talking about, bleeding in, sir?
All right.
So, is it your time of the month, Jordan? Is that what you're talking about, bleeding?
Harsh, Andreas. We have female listeners.
Well, and I probably just alienated them all. So,
yeah,
yay
so,
for that.
So, like I said, welcome to the New Orleans Rundown. I'm your host, Jordan Groves, and I am with Andrea Serna. Jason and Will will be joining us momentarily. So we have a few topics to discuss tonight, mainly that LSU got their season wrapped up in Corvallis, Oregon, and they went out with a whimper instead of like a lion. Andreas, were you able to catch any of the games that LSU played?
I was able to watch on the final game against Oregon State, and that was just so depressing to watch. It just a horrible way to end the season. I mean, you had high hopes. Everybody has high hopes when the season starts. We knew that this team was probably not going to be a repeat of last year, going to Omaha and being in the actual final for the College World Series title. But still, it was very disappointing to see our team go all the way out to Oregon and just lay an egg almost. And it's sad to say that Northwestern State from Natchitoches was out there. They actually scored more against Oregon State than we did. And it was a sad, sad showing by LSU. It's kind of a disappointing finish, you know. Hopefully, the team can I guess come back from that. Can use it as a learning experience, and hopefully next year we'll come back more experience under the belt and better than ever before.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that surprised me the most is that LSU didn't have any problems handling San Diego State. They dispatched them pretty convincingly. And then they just got bulldozed by Oregon State and really, for me, a shocking loss. I expected them to put up at least a run against Oregon State in the first game. Then you struggle with Northwestern State in the elimination game. Break it open in the bottom of the eighth. And then almost have a repeat performance of the first game against Oregon State whenever you can't even get a run in against them. I know that not having Labus, not having Hilliard, that hurt their pitching staff. So you're having to go to less reliable guys. But it wasn't really the pitching, I don't think, that did them in. They couldn't even hit Oregon State. So you can have the best pitcher in the world going against them. Now, you could put Justin Verlander up there on the mound, but if you're not hitting, you're not scoring. And that was their biggest weakness. And I see that, the MLB draft is tonight. The first two rounds are tonight. It's carrying over into tomorrow. But so far in the first two rounds, LSU hasn't had a single player selected. So it's a young team.
They have had a commitment selected in the first round, though, Jordan.
Yeah. But that hurts as far as the future. But you have a lot of your team returning now, possibly depending on what happens in the next rounds. You know, if someone wants to get selected and signs a contract as a third round pick somewhere.
Yeah.
But I feel that, possibly Eric Walker is going to come back stronger than ever next year if Hess isn't selected. And I feel Hess needs to return to refine his craft if he wants to be a starting pitcher. You know, he was gangbusters last year as a closer, but he was very uneven as a starting pitcher this year, and his fastball tops out in the low 90s. Like, that's not something that I feel can get him to the next level. And then you've got Olivas returning, Hilliard returning. Your pitching staff should be a strong suit where it was pretty weak this year. So I feel like they can be even stronger next year if the draft doesn't hurt them.
Well, and Jordan, you make a great point that, I mean, the team is very young. The team this year was very young. As you know, there was injuries amok that happened in the very beginning of the season that just caught, like, hurt, and it made it where it was almost like a makeshift team where you had to put, look at Austin Bain. Austin Bain was a pitcher, but he also had to play in the infield, and it's just things like that don't normally happen. This was an anomaly of sorts. I don't want people, I know that there are already people out there that are calling for Paul Maneri's head. They want him to be fired. And my question to those people is, this is one season, like, who are you going to get? Who is out there that you feel like you can get to come in here? And, I mean, I'm sure there are some names. I'm sure some people could probably identify. But still, it's, I mean, one season. I could see, we just were in the College World Series final the previous year, and now we were back in the postseason as a surprise team entered in. We had to go to Corvallis. It was, you know, against the number three seed, the number three national seed. A lot of people forget that. Oregon State was a great team last year, is a great team this year. I think they had a couple of their players picked in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. It is, you know, they just ran into a buzzsaw. And like I said, I feel like the people asking for Maneri's head, it's ridiculous after one season. Yes, okay, I think we finished, what, 39-27? I'm not looking at my computer screen, but something like that. I know we had a lot of losses, and that's uncharacteristic of an LSU baseball team. However, it's a young team, riddled with injuries. I think next year we'll bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel like next year's team will be stronger, but you know, there were other teams too that were playing all across the country. So, Jason, how much attention did you pay to the other teams that were involved in regional play?
I mean, as much as you would think, not crazy, but I was, you know, entertained by some of those teams, like a Stetson, or seeing Coastal Carolina not live up to actually hosting a regional, or let's see, I kind of like Vanderbilt's team. Oregon State was just too good. That, my thoughts on that were, this is not the same LSU team that played Oregon State last year, where Alex Lang pitched a hell of a game. It's just not. So, like, it's Oregon State. It's just basically like comparing apples to oranges. Golden State to this Cavs team. It's like running on fumes. That's what the LSU team was going up against Oregon. It wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. They barely scooted by Northwestern State just to get beat up by Oregon State. But besides that, it's been a fun, you know, regional. It's mostly been chalk outside of, you know, Trey's Florida State team or, you know, Coastal Carolina, like I said.
I hate to disagree with you. I hate to disagree with you, but I've done the research here, and it's not. The only seven of the regional hosts have actually advanced. So less than half have actually moved, the one seed moved on. The only one that has not been decided yet is Florida and Florida Atlantic, which is in the 15 or was in the 15 when I make the phone call. But every other regional has had another team win that was not the one seed. They were not the host. The, you know, Mississippi State won the Tallahassee regional. Vanderbilt won the Clemson regional. And, like, we had 2-3 seeds advance. Cal State Fullerton beat the number two team in the country, Stanford, knocked them out. And Washington, as you made mention, Washington knocked out Coastal Carolina. So seven regional hosts have advanced, And right now, five SEC schools, with the sixth one possibly being Florida, moved on. But all these other regionals, I mean, like, look at Ole Miss. Oxford, you know, Ole Miss was the SEC champion. Everybody was trumpeting, yes, they're the champions. And then they get knocked out by who? Tennessee Tech? I didn't even know Tennessee Tech existed. I hate to say that. That sounds rude. I didn't know there was a team called Tennessee Tech out there. I thought it was, you know, one of those fake schools they always use in those sitcoms. Like, oh, well, he went to small corner of Louisiana University or whatever. But no, Tennessee Tech knocked out the SEC champion. This is not chalk. This is not how it was written out. And, you know, this is not what the NCAA thought it was going to go. I mean, there's been a lot of upsets in this first round.
Okay, so in college baseball, in regional speak, when I say chalk, I kind of mean top two seeds. So I'm kind of leaning towards like the top 32 teams. To me, in college baseball, is chalk to kind of – those are not really this year, because it's been kind of a down year in baseball kind of across the board, in my opinion. But it's just – that's what – in regionals, the top two seeds, that's what I feel like is chalk. Like those two, if one of those two are making it through to the super regionals, I don't really bat an eye at it, put it that way. And the three seeds, that's – those are what you're looking at. Like that's, to me, like a – a three or four seed like a Stony Brook or something like that is gonna pop out at me. But it's not really been that much of that. Like, the stories are good, though. Trust me, with Tennessee Tech, like you said, and Washington knocking out Coastal Carolina. But it's like when Butler started, or like Gonzaga started, you know, getting these higher seeds. I'll say Gonzaga, getting these higher seeds, and then they couldn't, you know, live up to have these higher seeds, and they were always losing in the first round or the second round. But, I mean, the Coastal Carolina probably wasn't ready for that, hosting a regional yet. But Stetson was. Stetson handled it. His move.
Surprisingly, they did.
Yep.
And their reward is to go against North Carolina in the super regional. And while there possibly will be, five or six SEC teams, we know that four of them are going to face each other in the Supers. South Carolina takes on Arkansas. Mississippi State takes on Vanderbilt. So at least two of those won't make it to Omaha. And since LSU's been knocked out, kind of do a little round of horn here real quick. Has there one team that kind of stands out to you that you're hoping – we'll go all the way to Omaha and bring home the championship? We'll start with you, Jason. What do you think? Is there someone you're going to hit your wagon to right now?
I was going to say Vanderbilt, but they've been there before. Let's go something fresh, all right? I'm going behind Stetson, all right, man? I just realized where they were like a week ago. They're in Florida all day. So, hey, man, that's about all I know about it. They got hats that are like cowboys, you know, Stetson, you know,
he's a joke.
It's okay. So they're going to do great, man. That's why I want to see them good, like Stetson versus Oregon State and can lose their ass off. Oregon State's going to be too good, man. They're just too good, dude. Like, that's the team that's going to beat, that's going to win.
How about you, Andreas? Is there a team that you're like, yeah, I want them to go all the way?
Well, you know, what's funny is I have to agree with Jason. And, I mean, Stetson, that would be a funny – just to see the Stetson Hatters or whatever their nickname is, who knows, that Stetson makes it all the way. I mean, that would be something.
Looking it up
now,
right
the
now.
The team that I think – there's a couple teams that are really – that look kind of dangerous. Oregon State, obviously, they're the number three seed in the country. They're probably going to run right over the Golden Gophers of Minnesota, even though Minnesota was their host site. The other team to not snooze on, and it will, I mean, obviously if Florida advances, Florida being the number one team as well, but then they also would have to go up against a fellow SEC school in Auburn. But the team that I saw a little bit of them play and just the way they play there, that is Texas. And I know that sounds like a homer pick because, you know, my family is from Texas and everything, but watching them and the way they were playing the game in that regional, just they demolished Texas A&M. They, you know, of course, beat the crap out of Texas Southern as well, which, I mean, I'm sure that unfortunately was going to happen anyway. But they play that West Coast style of ball that Oregon State plays because of the late Augie Garrido. You know, they play where they get the guy on bat on first, lay down the bunt to second, and then try to get the guy over on third as well on a steal. They just play small ball. And I know that fans around here hate that expression. They you know, years ago, LSU was with gorilla ball. But this West Coast style that they play, they just, man, they took care of the Aggies. I think it was like 11-1 or something like that when my dad turned off the game. It was just, it was, they were just putting, pounding them pretty good with this one, you know, man in and then bunt the guy over and then steal and then score on a sack fly. And, I mean, if you can bring in the runs, that's all that matters. I think LSU, one thing I want to throw back out there is LSU had these players and they had the men on base. They just couldn't bring them in. There were several times during the game against Oregon State that they had, like, two or if not three men on base and couldn't bring in the runs. So, again, Oregon State or Texas are the ones I think that might be in contention that, you know, but if I'm going to follow a team, I want to see the little team. I want to see Stetson win. Vanderbilt would be another one, like you said, that would be interesting to watch. What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm going along with y'all. I've been talking about this in the chat for a couple of days now. I'm all in on Stetson and their badass hats that they wear on the field to play in. I mean, that's just an incredible story right there that they're playing baseball with Stetson hats. It's incredible. And then for them to actually go on to host a Super. But my second team would be the team, I think, with the best nickname left, and that's the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And I hope that they knock out Oregon State and their sexual predators. I'm sure both of y'all are aware of Oregon State star pitcher and the problems he gets into or has got into. I don't know if he's continuing to do it. But what he's done and that he's allowed to play and start for Oregon State is just an atrocity to the game of baseball. I'm not a baseball purist by any stretch, but I am a humanitarian. And what he did and was allowed to continue his career is just completely unacceptable, not only by Oregon State, but by the NCAA.
You know what? They should make him pump his own gas in Oregon.
Talk about a punishment right there, Jason. I mean, that is going, man, that's worse than the chair, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, so did we find out what the nickname of Stetson is by any chance?
Oh, it's
I was
going to
say,
check y'all's inbox.
It is check the Hatters, huh? Well, because look at this. Because you got all kinds of unique nicknames this coming round. You got the Red Raiders. You have Blue Devils. You have Longhorns. You have Gamecocks. You have Razorbacks. You have Titans. You have Commodores without Lionel Richie. And you have Tar Heels and Hatters, Golden Gophers and Beavers. Good night.
Oh, my.
Yes, exactly. All we got is, like, what, one Tiger, one Bulldog. Yeah, I know. This is some unique matchups. If we're going just for names, man, you got all kind. It's the all name field right now. But it's just, you know, like you said, it's disappointing LSU season ending the way that it did. Especially, you know, we had projected earlier that they would go possibly to Minnesota was one of them. Coastal Carolina was another one that was mentioned. We might have had a better shot, obviously, but we just went into a super hot OSU team and they just took care of business. That's all that is. I mean, what are you going to do? We were never in for either game, unfortunately.
See, like I was talking, we were talking about this in the chat too. It's amazing all the things we talk of. It's like we communicate well. But whenever we were talking about regionals and which regional we wanted LSU to go into, I was wanting them to go into the Tallahassee regional. Not only because Tallahassee crapped on themselves on home plate for the entire series that they hosted, but it would have been cool to see LSU and Florida State fans intermingle and get drunk together and talk crap to one another. I thought that'd be great. And they probably would have won the regional too. But what about Florida State and Mike Martin? Probably one of the longest fixtures in college baseball. Mike Martin continuing the tradition of having Florida State teams just stumble all over themselves in the postseason. Is it time for Mike Martin to go ahead and ride off into the sunset? I know this is a Louisiana-based podcast, but, I mean, come on. It's the dude's coaching from a wheelchair, waving his cane around. It's like him and the Rice coach. They're like throwing tapioca pudding on each other.
Hey, man.
Well, now he's picking on – see, I picked on women when it started. Now you're picking on all our older viewers, our listeners, rather. Boy, goodness gracious.
I know, man. We're just getting, he's just wrong.
But, okay, here's the thing with Mike Martin. I honestly – I feel bad for Mike Martin because of the situation. I mean, this guy that's always been the bridesmaid, never a bride. And they, I believe – correct me if I'm wrong, y'all – but I believe at Florida State, it's the team that has made it to the College World Series the most times with no championships to show. And so – is it time for him to retire? It may very well be. I don't know. I love the guy. I love Mike Martin. I like the Florida State program. I think it'd be great if Florida State would join the SEC. But that's for another podcast. Yeah, but nonetheless, I still think, you know, yeah, it might be time for him to say goodbye. Him and Wayne Graham, like you say. I mean, the only problem is, I believe, with both of them and God for saying this, you know, but, you know, kind of like when Bear Bryant stepped down at Alabama, he was dead within a few months. I feel like the same thing would happen for these guys. All they've done is coaching for so long that you remove that coaching thing from them and what do they have to live for kind of thing.
Good Lord, this took a turn for the morbid.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about –
by the way, noted,
what is
before
it,
we move on, noted
says.
Stetson alumni. Noted Stetson alumni. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom and Corey Kluber.
Oh, how about that?
Huh, right?
Hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
Also the founder of Merrill Lynch.
Well,
and
I'm
Rich
McKay.
Obama
Stetson gear.
And Rich McKay is from Stetson. Do you know who Rich McKay is?
He owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No,
well,
whoa,
the,
no.
First coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Now, he was the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he's right now the president and general manager of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Ah, that's right,
so,
yes.
I don't like Stetson anymore.
Yeah.
So are we expecting them to lose 28-3 somewhere and give up a 28-3 lead and lose?
That's going to be the score of the UNC Stetson game. It's going to be 28-3 North Carolina over Stetson.
It's going to be Yeah, the two combined losses by Stetson are going to be 28-3.
Oh, that's sad.
That
just predicted this. This was going to happen. So speaking of baseball, this is going to be kind of a baseball heavy podcast here, but it's been discussed here that Major League Baseball is thinking of expansion by two teams. First, we've been on record here on this podcast saying that Major League Baseball should not expand, it should contract. It looks like they're shooting us not only the bird, but the double bird, and saying, no, we know what's best for our company. I'm trying to think of markets to expand in, and I can't help but think of the strong baseball fandom here in Louisiana, with LSU, with Tulane, even with UNO, ULL. Jason, do you think that if Major League Baseball expands, that New Orleans is going to be a market that they look hard at and consider?
Oh, no, I would, no doubt. Like, I know you laugh every time that we talk about expansion in anything, and I bring up Vegas, because you see that's my first answer, but logistically right. Like Vegas and New Orleans, if you wanted to expand to two cities like they're thinking about or whatever, I would expand to those two cities. Just logistically speaking, you know, hotels, they've hosted big events. They can host one is in the first season of hosting the first, you know, a hockey season, their first professional sports team, going pretty well. Haven't heard that many complaints from logistically speaking, around town. Not like I'm there, but I mean that you could have heard stuff come out that it's not, you know, that's a mess or whatever. But, and then New Orleans, we already have two pro teams. And it's not like you couldn't just expand on what you have on airline and make that into a major league park. You could if you wanted to. I mean, that does say mean goodbye to the baby cakes, but I mean, I'm willing to take that risk. But besides Vegas, if you wanted to pair New Orleans with another team to expand to, I wouldn't do Omaha necessarily, but I would do somewhere in Nebraska. And I would, you know, maybe you want to do Lincoln, but I would do it right around where you had the heartbeat of college baseball. And that's, I mean, Omaha. Unless you want to put a team in Canton. I mean, not Canton. It's in New York, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
Cooperstown.
Yeah. I drew a bad blank on that. Yeah, if you want to put a team, if you want to put a team up there for the nostalgic sake. Those would be my two cities, Vegas and New Orleans.
I don't know, Jordan. I'm over here. I'm shaking my head. I mean, you guys have probably already hit this issue when I saw that we were going to discuss the possibility of expansion, and obviously you mentioned it. I'm on the side that I think the Major League Baseball needs to contract, as it seems like that, Jordan, you mentioned that you guys have discussed before, so I won't get into that. But if they're going to, like you said, if they're going to try to expand, then what, they're looking at two teams to vote, one to each league, one to the AL, one to the NL, is that what we're looking at? If that's the case, I mean, I don't even know. First of all, to answer your question, Jordan, I don't think New Orleans is a viable market for a Major League Baseball team. And I'll tell you why. Because if that was the case, I mean, as much as, you know, Zephyr Field, or I don't even know what they call it now because I haven't been down there, but, you know, the Shrine on Airline, as long as I just don't see that as a Major League Baseball facility. And I know Jason said that they can expand it, they can make it larger, they could add luxury suites, whatever they have to do. It doesn't seem like it's a viable place. If that's the problem, see, because that's also, it's not like, you know, that the Superdome and the Smoothie King Center are around just right there. And the CBD, right when you get to New Orleans, boom, right there. All those hotels are right there. It's all around in that area. The thing is that I would think that an MLB team would want, if they're going to play in a city like New Orleans during the summer months, like we have here in Louisiana, they would want some sort of probably indoor-outdoor stadium like the Sky Dome, like Minute Maid Park, something like that. And unless they build a new stadium for the New Orleans team, I don't see them coming to New Orleans. I just don't. New Orleans had the opportunity twice to bring or to try to lure a team away. One was the Oakland Athletics. And the other one was Jordan's favorite team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they said that they were going to play their home games in the Superdome until a stadium could be built. I don't think, I'm not 100% on this, but I don't think the Superdome can be configured for baseball anymore. I remember reading about that a few years ago. And if that's the case, then are we going to have a Major League team play in at Zephyr Field or whatever it's called now until it's, so they have a new stadium? I don't see New Orleans as a viable host city. I don't. And I know that goes against, you know, us being a local show and all, but I just don't see it. Jordan, I don't know. What do you think?
There's a lot of land in the east. There's a big amusement park that's not being used.
You're absolutely correct. And I had made one point once when I had my show on 1210 in Baton Rouge. I made the point that if they wanted to put a team possibly, like you said, where that Jazzland was, they could have. I wasn't thinking baseball at the time, but yeah, you're 100% correct. It's just land sitting out there. But I don't know, again, what the infrastructure is around that where Jazzland is, because I've actually never been out there where Jazzland was. I never went when it was open. I don't know if there's a lot of hotels. I don't know if there's a lot of places to stay out there. Jordan, since I kind of said no, and Jason saying yes, what is your vote? You're the deciding vote here.
Well, I can only imagine, first off, if the Jazzland remnants are taken away, a beautiful new baseball stadium is played, we get in New Orleans, the major channel is broadcasting the game, the New Orleans team against the New York Yankees. They're in town, and the New Orleans team star player steps up, hits one out the park, boom, lands right in the Industrial Canal. I mean, talk about a beautiful scene. That just sets up perfectly.
Jeez. That's a lovely sight for sore eyes, isn't it? Now you were mentioning, okay, so I'm guessing that means that you're against the idea. I don't know.
I'm not entirely opposed to a team in New Orleans. I just wonder about financial support, because while the Saints have an easy time filling the stadium for 8 games out the year, and then you've got, 46 games for a season? No, 36 games for a season in basketball. 41, okay. I tell you what, numbers are really hard whenever you have to put them
together.
Oh, they are. It was only just recently that there was discussion about having the Pelicans relocate because they didn't have a high enough attendance. You know, that was just a couple of years ago. But if you're talking about a Major League Baseball team that's going to play 162 games a year, so 81 games at home, and you're going to have to try to at least look decent for attendance, you know, I just don't know how many people are going to be able to support that along with the Pelicans, along with the Saints. You know, the Baby Cakes aren't necessarily setting any attendance records. And I'm sure that has to do with the team that they're affiliated with, because no one gives a flying shit about the Miami Marlins. But
you know when they were popular? You know when they were great? When they were connected to the Astros, for one, and when they were winning. Winning cures all. Doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter what city you're in. You could be in the shittiest city possible. And if you're winning every year, year in and year out, they're going to come. They're going to show up. Guaranteed. Like, yep. New Orleans is such a transplant city nowadays. It's almost like the argument of Vegas now. Like, can or any Florida city that wants to expand down there? Or, you know, if you want to, I don't know. It's just, it's all about, you could put, I doubt the Superdome's strictly football, and they can't. I understand maybe a few years ago they did something where it's not possible, because I haven't read up, but I've been to baseball games in the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
me too.
So I've seen that. I mean, it's not great. It's like probably like the crap thing that the Oakland A's are playing in right now.
I don't think anything's as bad as that, man.
Would probably be to that extent. I mean. So I wouldn't want it in the Superdome. I'd want it either like along the lakefront, or right, if you can try to configure it where you can sneak it along the Mississippi River in the city somewhere, or on the West Bank. Doesn't have to be on the East Bank. Be on the West Bank. That would be the best bet. I think this town is a baseball town. Like, you see it with Cubs fans down here. You see it with Braves fans.
True.
Hell, LSU baseball is basically a major league team down here, how we talk about it. And this town can, I will put money on this town supporting a major league baseball team over, I guarantee you'll see the Pelicans attendance drop a little more. Because I guarantee you the city will be a football first, baseball second team town.
I definitely agree with you there. I think that if New Orleans could support two sports franchises, football one, baseball second, and then basketball, not so much. So I do kind of agree there that if the Pelicans were to move – and a baseball team took their place, I could see it being supported more than I could with them supporting three franchises. I just don't think there's enough money in the city to support three franchises. And kind of more to your point, Jason, Saints attendance wouldn't suffer, but Pelicans attendance would. Other cities that I've seen considered are putting a franchise back in Montreal, which I'm all for. Bring back the Expos. San Antonio, Nashville, Charlotte, Vegas, Mexico City, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and one that seems to have the most traction right now is Portland, Oregon. So, I would add Memphis to that, and I would think, like you said, Jason, Omaha. That's a huge baseball town with a pro stadium already there that they could host baseball games in. You know, just schedule your games around when the College World Series is happening. So you have week-long road trip. Now, that hasn't been unheard of before.
Like the rodeo trip.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily wanting to see a team in San Juan, Puerto Rico, just for travel concerns. Mexico, you're kind of dealing some rough figures there, I would think. But there's untapped markets with untapped potential. But I'm wondering then, too. So two teams are added, wherever. We'll go, just for the sake of argument, Montreal gets one again, and Portland gets one. What does that do for Major League divisions? You know, right now each division has six teams in it. So what do you do when you have 32? Are you going to do the NFL model of four-team divisions? Andreas, like, how do you do that? How do you make that math work?
Well, first of all, I think your math is off. Let me just say that. I think you're saying that all the divisions have six teams, and I don't think that's correct. I think the NL Central has six teams, but I'm not sure about the others. I might be wrong. They all have five now. I think they're all, so it's all five now. Okay, so not six.
We've established that numbers are hard.
Yes. Numbers are hard. counting is hard. Yes, when they started adding letters to mathematics, I tuned out. But no, I think if you go to add two more teams, then it becomes, like you say, a 16 division on either side. And I really don't know. I mean, like, how they can make that work. I mean, I will say that for the most part, they have the divisions are geographically correct. There might be a few stragglers that you're like, well, how in the world are they in the East or so forth or so on. But I think baseball is probably the one that's the closest to being geographically correct. So it might end up having a 16 NL Central or something. I don't know. I know. I will say this though. And this goes with your saying, if we use the example, like, it seems like Portland is becoming is one of the ones that's gaining a lot of support. Because they said that they would be right there. There would be a possibility to start a rivalry with the Mariners and all that. It would be right there in the Pacific Northwest, two teams in that area. If that's the case, then you can say goodbye to my favorite team because the Padres are gone. That would be a kiss of death for San Diego. They already lost the Chargers. They lost the NBA team they had years ago. I said, no, that would be it. If a Portland team joins the Portland Timbers of the MLS up there and the Trailblazers, and it becomes like the Portland Pioneers or whatever, say goodbye to San Diego. That's gone. They're gone. Because San Diego, if you think about it, is the bastard stepchild of baseball in California. Because you have the two teams at the Bay. You know, you have the Athletics, and you have the Giants, and you have the two teams in L.A., the Angels and the Dodgers. You do that, San Diego's gone. And then so that may not necessarily be an expansion. It may just be relocation. I don't know. The other thing, let's say you had a team, what was another team? You guys mentioned like Memphis. If you add, I honestly think you add Memphis, a team like the Devil Rays, would be gone. I feel like, if anything, they might relocate these teams. I just don't know, I mean, why we need more teams. If anything, I remember one time hearing, I think, Jordan, you told me that your idea would be to merge the Devil Rays and the Marlins together, because those fan bases are very, very, you know, you would think, being in a very Hispanic-oriented community of Tampa and of Miami, that they would be super-duper popular, and they're just not. I mean, you've seen their attendance figures have dropped off. The newness is gone. Even their new stadium down there in Miami hasn't brought in the amount of fans they thought it would. So it would be really interesting to see if the MLB would relocate teams or start these teams from scratch, like you say, an expansion team. And I know that really wasn't your question, Jordan. I just thought I would bring that point up. The other thing I wanted to say, and I didn't want to interrupt you all, is if New Orleans – I don't see New Orleans, like you say, if they add a team, and I think, Jordan, you already said this, if they were to add Major League Baseball, the money isn't there. I don't think it's there. I would say it that way. I don't think that the city could support all three. And obviously the Saints aren't going anywhere, and as much as we enjoy watching the Pelicans, a local team, if, like you say, it'd be either, you know, they would be the one to go. And I don't know, I just – you know, with baseball, I enjoy watching baseball. I don't know if New Orleans is the most viable place for a new MLB city. You know, I don't know. I think when you're mentioning your other cities, like you said, I think maybe somewhere on the East Coast, you had mentioned like Charlotte, I believe you mentioned them. That might be somewhere. Memphis is another possibility, like you said. I don't like any of the teams in the foreign countries. I hate to say it that way. So Montreal, even though I love the Expos growing up, I don't see them giving them back a team. Mexico City already, and Monterrey has even been mentioned. I saw those two cities. They already have Mexican League teams. Mexican League, it's the major league down there, just like Japan has their own league. Mexico has I think it's a 30 to 32 team league down there in Mexico. So you bring an MLB team to Mexico, I think they start losing the viewers down there, the followers down there. If you had like a Mexican city or even San Antonio, I don't think San Antonio is a viable market either, and not because of the size, but because there's already two Texas teams. I just think the MLB, like you said, they don't care what I'm saying, and I'm just a lowly guy. What do I know? But I just feel like they're like, damn the torpedoes. We want to expand. We're going to expand. I don't think they need to expand at this time.
So while this was happening, we had someone walk in on our threesome that we're having here. Will, nice of you to join us. Come in, make yourself comfortable. We're talking about MLB expansion and which two teams you could conceivably see being added and what it would do to the expansions. And I know And I'm speaking for Andreas and Jason here. We really want to hear your thoughts.
All day.
Absolutely. All
day. I bet you do. Good to
finally
be
on. Wait, you want me to set you up? Hold on, I'll set you up.
All right.
There you go.
That's how Will was feeling. He spent his past 3 hours cleaning his apartment, so I know
he's
tired.
That's about right. That's about how I feel right now. how y'all doing?
Well, we're discussing the MLB expansion. I say that New Orleans would not be a good city. Jason disagrees 1,000% with me. And Jordan's just been sitting on the fence, so he doesn't want to upset either one of them. So
we're having verbal fisticuffs. It's awesome.
Wrong question to ask. I did hear enough of the conversation. I do want to just real quick hone in on the New Orleans and the connection with LSU thing. And when I think about that, I'm looking at, you know, where is there a similar kind of dynamic? Well, L.A. basically had one, maybe one and a half pro football teams, really one. But occasionally, you know, a half UCLA sometimes stepped up and acted like a pro team to some extent. And so they would support that, but we've seen already even a good Rams team, LA doesn't support, you know, in the NFL, and they've never really supported the NFL in all its different iterations. My point being, I feel like LSU baseball is kind of a similar situation. And yes, it's in Baton Rouge, so it's not quite the same as New Orleans, but still, like y'all said, like that's the pro baseball team in Louisiana. So I don't feel like they would support or that New Orleans would really support a major league team given that same kind of thought process. Anyway, to get to your other question or the other parts of the question, I do like Portland, Portland, Oregon, you know, as a possible expansion city. And then, yeah, I'm not feeling Charlotte. I feel like they're an NFL city. I mean, they struggle to support the Hornets, or at least from what I understand they do. So I don't really see the draw to them, you know, as a baseball city. And I just don't think North Carolina is that much of a baseball state in general.
What about Charleston? Nobody mentioned that.
So I agree with Andres here, though. Like, I don't really see expansion in a general sense as a viable option for Major League Baseball. I mean, they're already struggling to market the sport to the younger generations, and that's a.
Oh, we all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, that could be another topic in and of itself. Recently heard someone talk about how the problem isn't the speed of the game. The problem is MLB's ability to market, and it's the problem with, you know, all the blackouts
but they have such great young talent, though. They really should be marketing them way better.
Right. It shouldn't be hard, but whoever's in charge of that obviously sucks at their job.
Rob Manfred and Will's calling you out, you punk.
Oh, man.
Well,
I don't put
that fully on the commissioner, but certainly he sets the tone for that. So, but to answer the last part of your question, I know I'm a little bit long-winded, but if there was to be any kind of division realignment, whether it involved expansion or not, I think what we would see is more going to more of like an east-west format, like the NHL and like the NBA. And so where you would have, you know, the Dodgers and Angels would be in the same division. I guess Houston and the Rangers already are. That, you know, that's a weird thing that's happened in the last couple of years. Not weird, but just, you know, a recent development. But, you know, the Mets.
And I hate that too.
Yeah, Mets and Yankees would be in the same division. Cubs and White Sox, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point. I feel like that would be the most likely division realignment if it were to happen. But then you're talking about tearing down, you know, 100-plus years of history with the American and National League. So I don't think that's going to happen either, even though that's the most likely. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like the most likely thing is status quo.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how it develops and what MLB actually decides to do. So with that being said, and we're going to stay on baseball and transition to something we all have opinions on, and that is we're in the heart of baseball season. We're gearing up. It's June now. The contenders are pulling away from the pretenders. Sometimes it helps to have a few Angels in the outfield. Sometimes when you're playing Major League Baseball, you're in a league of your own. So what we're doing is going to pick and discuss what the best baseball movie is. I mean, there's a lot of incredible baseball movies out there. There's some terrible ones. There's some brilliant ones. Well, you just joined in. We just heard what you had to say, so we're not going to hear from you yet. But, Jason, I want to hear from you. What, give us a rundown of, since we're on the Nolan rundown, of what your favorite baseball movies are and what really is your favorite baseball movie of all time.
Oh, man. Favorite baseball movie of all time. That's tough, first off. Right off the bat. You got your drama. You got your comedy. You got your crazy, crazy foreigner. You got your nut job manager who holds it all together. So that's numero uno. Number two is going to be Field of Dreams. Because every man cries. My business. And then number three is another one where I got a little misty, and it might not, you know, might not be in the top ten for you guys, but just for me, and that's a little movie Keanu Reeves in that.
Ooh.
And that's Hardball.
Hmm. I like it.
I like that, man. I liked it. I could go 4 and 5, but I'll let y'all go, and then we can kind of
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have some discussion, because as you're naming movies, not only are you naming things that I forgot, but I'm thinking of other stuff in my head, too, other movies in my head. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, Will, what – give me some of your favorites, man, so we can discuss.
Yeah, so for me, and I've totally forgot about Hardball. That was a good one, Jason. And also, Jordan, I have to say I loved your wordplay to intro this segment. Well done. To me, the two that stand out above the rest, and for me, they're 1A and 1B, and they're really in my top 10 all-time movies of any genre, are Sandlot and Field of Dreams.
I got Sandlot.
To pick between the two is pretty tough. Major League would be a third one that I really enjoy. More just because it's silly and goofy, and I mean, I'll watch it anytime I see it on or, you know, come across it. So those would be my top three, but again, with the Sandlot and Field of Dreams being 1A, 1B.
Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
a good one.
Funky butt loving.
that's the thing. There are a lot of good baseball movies.
There's the Natural.
Big League.
Yep.
Little Big League, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Andreas, how about you? What's your top three?
Huh. Okay. Well, let's see here. I was trying to think about it while you guys, because I'm like, yeah, there are so many good baseball movies out there. I guess number three would be Pride of the Yankees, with Lou Gehrig and everything. Number two would be probably The Sandlot. And number one would be Major League. I don't know why. It's just the whole movie, you know, shut up, Dorn. Yeah, the whole, you know, the late, I forget the actor's name, but the manager, you know, Lou Brown, I just, the whole, and I mean the first one. I actually, you know, it kind of peters out with the rest of the series, as most sequels aren't as good as the first one. But, man, just, you know, it's one of the most quotable baseball movies, period. And
sure,
so, like you said,
sure.
We would just discuss it later. So go ahead, Jordan, your favorite, your top three.
So this is one that hasn't been said yet, and I'm going to do what Andreas did too. Start at three and work my way to one. Number three, Bad News Bears, the original with Walter Matthau.
Ooh.
I love that movie. Just the smartassness of the movie. Like it's great. It hits me right in my sweet spot. Number two, because it is infinitely quotable, A League of Their Own. Like, there's no crying in baseball is what the top baseball quote that there is, all next to like "You're killing me, Smalls,"
just a bit outside.
No, F you, Joe Boo, I'll do it myself. No, like these are great quotes. And number one, Major League. I mean, you, like Jason said, you've got everything you want in that movie. But there are so many that we did. Field of Dreams is another one of my favorites. I'd probably follow number four, I guess.
Bang the drum slowly.
So number five is another movie that's got my favorite actor of all time in it, playing the biggest baseball star to ever play the game. That's John Goodman when he played Babe Ruth in Babe.
Oh, man. You guys forgot about The Fan, man, with De Niro and Snipes.
Oh, yeah.
Does that count? I guess it does. I tell you the scene I love the most is when they're playing the Padres and it's like a torrential downpour. I'm like, yeah, I don't think they'd be playing the game. But yeah, it had my Padres in it, so I was like, okay. And the Padres won. Yay! We're talking about the Black Sox. There's Eight Men Out. There's The Natural.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of baseball movies. In fact, now that he mentioned it, I forgot about A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Got to count that, too. So.
Yep.
And, who can forget Danny Glover and Tony Danza in the classic movie, Angels in the Outfield.
Yep.
Jordan still hasn't seen that.
Yeah,
I'm on my way to your house with the DVD so we can watch it.
Oh, you got to give him the VHS. Give him the VHS.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
I probably have the VHS somewhere.
I think I might, too. We're talking
about all this, and there's so many good ones that we're mentioning, and some I'm sure that we're forgetting.
Probably.
Are there more good baseball movies than there are any other sports genre?
There might be more good baseball movies than all other sports genre movies combined, like any sport. I mean, just as we're going through that list, that's a bold statement, but
that's a hot
possible.
Take.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
there's
a lot of good football movies out there too.
Yeah,
so I don't
that's
know.
What
I
would say.
Football. Now, basketball, to be honest with you, they don't really pop into my head as often as 1, 2, 3. I mean, everybody knows about Hoosiers, but after that, it's like, well, what other basketball movies are there out there? There's Air Bud,
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
man. Yeah. Look, I'm pulling
up
this right now.
Man.
There's a lot, like Jordan said, there's a lot of baseball movies, and a lot of the top ones, a lot of the ones that we've been saying is 1, 2, and 3, or even just a couple of them, they're all quotable. And that's another thing that makes them so good and so unique is that they all, like Jordan says, you can say there's no crying in baseball. Everybody knows that's from a movie, League of Their Own. You could say, It Could Happen or whatever, Angels in the Outfield. People, and of course everybody loves Bob Uecker from Major League,
Yep.
In fact, I mean, that's why Zach Hess wore those, was the Wild Thing. He had those glasses that he wore, just like Charlie Sheen. I miss those. He didn't have them this season, I don't think.
Well, he wasn't as dominant either.
There you go.
That's what was missing. That's what was missing.
Yeah, basketball movies are kind of weak. Football movies are kind of up there with baseball movies.
Yeah.
Hey. And it, look, they count Forrest Gump as a football movie, so that really doesn't count.
Well, and that's the thing is, where do you count?
Yeah.
Do you count if it has just a little bit of baseball? Like part of the Yankees, most people just know it for that speech. Should it really that count as a baseball movie? I don't know.
Right.
But that speech is iconic, though, in film. It's one of the best speeches in any movie ever. Like definitely one of the top one, but. That's about all I had tonight, guys.
Did we talk about, or did y'all talk about LSU in the regionals?
Yes.
Okay.
That's you were cool. Still cleaning your pipes.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just looking at, you know, tonight was the first night of the Major League Baseball draft, and it's the first two rounds, and so far two LSU Tigers have been taken. Zach Watson was taken. Never mind. Sorry, I misread it. They have not.
Fake
that was
news.
That's their ranking. Okay, so no LSU Tigers have been taken yet.
Yep, we covered that.
Okay. So, all right. Sorry. Did we talk about how amazing the Washington Capitals are?
No,
oh, this guy.
About that shit.
Yeah. Hey, how's Tom Wilson?
You know, that was just
yeah.
atrocious. That was pretty bad.
The Broad Street bullies
yeah.
are smiling down and prideful, looking at the Washington Caps in their style of play. They're beaming with pride, like proud parents.
But there were so many of those slashing and high sticking and sticks to the face and sticks to the groin. I don't know, man. It's like the comedian used to say, "Went to a fight last night and a hockey game broke out."
Yeah.
But
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
So now, game five is going to be interesting. And I say that because now this is what every end of season finals needs. Some good old-fashioned hate. The Vegas Golden Knights have now learned why everybody hates the Washington Capitals.
I do love the sounder from Swingers. That's awesome. Whoever just played that, that should be a prerequisite for all guys to watch. But yes, Vegas, I unfortunately am going to say this. I think I said it once. I'll say it again. The luck has run out on the Golden Knights. They're not going to win. They're now backs against the wall. They can't win three in a row. They're not going to do it. I don't care.
Hey, man.
You know, Jordan, you come at me, Jordan.
Not with that kind of attitude, Andreas.
I'm a fan.
Hey, you're discounting the team in the city of Lady Luck?
Yeah,
you need to go in the corner and think about what you just said.
Jeez.
Show me what you got!
That's it for tonight.
Well,
we might have another podcast later on in the week if we can swing it. We still have plenty other stuff to talk about. But, gentlemen, tonight's been a fun one.
Hold on.
The news goes.
Hold on.
That was perfect.
No, that would have been good. Are the NBA finals a done deal?
Yes. They were done whenever the matchup was announced.
Okay. Fair enough.
We're just waiting for the off season.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we have off season plans. We got big plans, big plans.
Yeah.
Huge.
That can be a podcast in and of itself.
Yeah.
Big old plans. Big plans.
Huge plans.
There is a statement that we've shut up. There is a segment that we've been trying
finish
to bring
him.
Back. Oh boy, that we've been trying to bring back, and I think Jordan just—I don't know—he, I don't know why. As host, he just seems reticent to it. But it's Man Crush Monday. Come on now.
It's not my spot for Man Crush Monday. But since you set it up, Jason, do we have a sounder for Man Crush Monday?
We do have a sounder for Man Crush Monday.
Let's set it up.
Lick, lick, lick my balls! Yeah!
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we might have to work on that sounder.
Yeah.
I think he needs to go stand in a corner somewhere.
All right. So Jason's got a little bit of Trey in him tonight. Let's,
Oh, no. That just sounded wrong. That sounded all kinds of wrong. Jordan, you go ahead in the corner, too.
All right. Since Will's the one that wanted to crank off Man Crush Monday, Will, crank it off. Who's your man crush this Monday?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think Andres has done this segment before, so I just wanted to set the stage, make sure he knows exactly what's to be expected of this, of you in this segment, this final segment to close out all segments of the show. It's exactly like it sounds. Yeah, it's exactly like it sounds. Your man crush of the week. I will save, since the Capitals series is not over yet and they haven't clinched the Stanley Cup yet, I will save them until next Man Crush Monday, which hopefully will be Monday.
Wait a second. Are you saying that you're going to have the whole team as your man crush?
I did not say that. I said that it will.
That's the start.
He does like
that's
most
the start of it. That is the start of every Bukkake movie.
Oh, man.
I remember when we did this last year, he would pick like a whole offensive line one time.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome.
I didn't watch or anything,
but he picked them.
All I will say is a little bit of foreshadowing. My next Man Crush Monday will be someone, or possibly two. Why not? You know, whatever.
Hello.
Of the Washington Capitals. But for
it's
this
gonna, it's going to be their whole blue line.
Yeah.
It's going to be Tommy Wilson.
Yeah,
that would piss y'all off, wouldn't it? You'd probably kick me off the show.
Temporarily, yes.
For a week.
Look, if you want to have a man crush on a guy that actually drinks human pee, by all means.
Does he?
Of course.
Oh,
that's how he hydrates, Jason.
Man, I thought that rumor.
Yeah. All right, now that we've set the stage appropriately and inappropriately as well,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go outside the realm of sports if that's allowed. Good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I know this happened like 3 weeks, maybe a month ago, I only got around to watching it. Well, I'm always at least a month behind. Actually, this is really, for me, this is incredibly, like, up to date. Like, I'm usually, like, 9 months behind. So to only be a month behind is pretty amazing for me.
Did you say that you're pregnant?
Oh, my God.
9 months behind.
Wow.
Who's the father? God, the precious is the baby on the way.
His man crush Monday is his father. I got it.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
I told you that in the show earlier, Will.
Yeah, I screwed myself here. all seriousness, sort of. Anyway, outside the realm of sports, got around to watching on YouTube the commencement. The commencement address, whatever, the person who gives the commencement speech at a college graduation, whatever, given an honorary doctorate at Howard University, Dr. Chadwick Boseman. I've been on a big, big kick of watching all his movies since Black Panther. I still have to watch I still have to watch Marshall, which apparently is an incredible movie. He was in the Express, I think. Yeah, he was in the Express. He was Jackie Robinson in 42. He played the King of Soul, James Brown.
Didn't he play Jim Brown? No.
James no.
no
James
what was
Brown.
The, no. What was
oh, in the Express.
Player.
In
yeah.
the Express. Was he one of the main characters? I thought he was just like a minor character in that. I don't remember.
No, he was the main character.
We can save the Chadwick Boseman IMDb page for the next podcast. But what's up?
Yeah. So anyway, I have a man crush on Chadwick Boseman. Great actor, great director. And if you have a chance, just go on YouTube, look up Chadwick Boseman Howard commencement speech. I'm sure that would pull it up. I thought it was a really, really awesome speech. So that's my Man Crush Monday.
Jason.
Who's your man crush today?
My man crush today would be LeBron James again.
What?
And I'm going to tell you why. Because that man had the courage to not crush J.R. Smith between his little hands. Anybody saw that little bit? I'm telling you right now, that man had all the patience in the world, not to, and he would have been justified to hurt that little man. I promise you, nobody would have batted an eye. And if you saw the video that came out this morning, that was an overview of basically the huddle right after the play. Did anybody see that before I start describing it?
Didn't he, like, basically say, like, what the heck did you just do or something like that? I don't know if I caught it or not.
So what happens is, so for the first minute and a half, all right, there's literally nobody on the team talking to each other except for Kyle Tierney in the middle of the huddle trying to be a cheerleader. Okay, and then Ty Lee walks in into the huddle after one right now, whatever plan he had going into the next into overtime. And as soon as he walks into the huddle, LeBron asks him, did we have any timeouts? And he asks him again, how many do we have? And Ty Lue obviously tells him they had timeouts. And his reaction literally was head in hand, on his lap, pissed off. Death stare, like you could not believe. Just looking the other way. How do you get a death stare while somebody's looking the other way? Like, that dude would have killed J.R. Smith. I was not kidding in our little group chat where if I was LeBron James, I would have paid the rest of his salary and said, please don't get back on this plane. Please, bye. See you. Bye. Like, really. Like, I will kill you if you get back on this plane. Like, just leave him there. And then, actually, I'm not even going to say that, LeBron, like, that the patience, but my man crush Monday really goes to Golden State's fans for giving J.R. Smith one, a standing ovation.
I didn't see that.
In the starting lineup announcements, and then when they were chanting MVP when he was at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I might hate the team, but I love, the fans are great. I wish I was in the stands just listening to that.
All right, well, so Andres, I think you've got the hang of what Man Crush Monday is. Who is your Man Crush Monday?
Let me make it quick. I'm sure we're running low on time, so it's going to be kind of a weird but pick here. I've got two, one living, one unfortunately that's not, and we'll start with the one that's not today. An NFL, I don't want to say legend, but a man who changed the course of the NFL, Dwight Clark, passed away. He had Lou Gehrig's disease. He died, I think he was 61. He will forever be known as in the 1981 NFC Championship game for catching the pass from Joe Montana for what's known as the catch, and led the 49ers to their Super Bowl. And they became, of course, from then on, the team of the 80s. And, that's just, you know, a great player. One of the players that gets overshadowed a lot. So wanted to make a note of that. Man Crush Monday, I thought Will was going to say this, so I'm going to say it was somebody else who got an honorary doctorate, but this time from Baylor University. My man crush Monday on that criteria is J.J. Watt. Got an honorary doctorate from Baylor for all his charitable works, for both most recently with the Santa Fe shooting, but also with Hurricane Harvey, and getting more than, I think they said, $3 million with the charity donations for the victims of the hurricane. So that's who I pick.
All right, and my man crush Monday is a local guy from Denham Springs, Louisiana. He was just drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Pirates out of South Alabama University, Travis Swaggerty. So props to a local guy who is now joining the ranks of Major League Baseball, and also props to the Houston Astros for not drafting for need, but drafting on last name alone by drafting Seth Beer.
I like it. I like it. It has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that'll wrap up the show tonight. We have crossed the finish line of the rundown.
And that's the way the news goes.